Good morning. I hope that you heard coming to Tim and Jess that heart they have to encourage us to remember that we're a family. And that's such a blessing to be reminded of that and to travel as a family. And the Lord is setting before us this awesome opportunity, and I can't think of anything more high priority than blessing these children. Whether you have children or not, whether these are your kids or not, God entrusts us with them, and we just want to be a blessing to them. So I just want to, on the heels of what Tim and Jess just shared, just encourage you to really consider getting plugged in one of those. And it might mean coming to both services, attending one for your own building up and growth and all, and then going to another one to help out. But I'll tell you this. I'll make you a deal here. If you try it for 6 months and you feel God ripped you off, you come let me know. If you come later and say to me, you know, God never blessed me that whole 6 months, I'll be very surprised. Because I give that invitation to a lot of people. And time and again, people come back and they let me know, yeah, maybe they got tired and there was days they were had to rush through it or all. But time and again, they come back and say, but boy, was I blessed. Time and again, people come back and say, it was great stuff getting to know the kids. And whether it's the Joy Club after school, I mean, I tell you, those kids, what a blessing it is just to see them around the school after we've been ministering to them. Or the Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings, getting involved with the kiddos. And it's just good for our faith and our growth and all. And you try it. You try it. You let me know whether you feel like God ripped you off or not. I know you're going to say God blessed you because he does. He entrusts us with these kids and says, come on out. So I encourage you. I just on the heels of what Jim and Jess shared, just let's just step up and not say, well, someone else will do it. Well, let's step up and see what God wants to do with these kids. How awesome to be known as that, as one amongst many, but a place where the family and children are valued and minister to. So we pray that'd be the case. Well, let's get into our study. There is a study here in our future. Let's get into it. Turn to the book of Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. The ushers have walked down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible to study with us. So if you need a Bible, just raise your hand. We count it a privilege to pass the Bible over to you. And that Bible is yours, of course, to keep if you need it. Take it, use it, wear it out, pass it on to someone, whatever the need might be. But let's all turn now to the book of Numbers chapter 6, as we continue our travels with the children of Israel and all that we're learning through them. And boy, are we learning. This is not just dusty history, but good, applicable stuff to every single one of us. Numbers chapter 6. Now, if you were here last week, then you may remember that we were in Numbers chapter 9. Maybe a few of you recall that. Now, that being the case, you would expect that this morning we'd be somewhere beyond moving forward from chapter 9. But as I began to prepare for our time together, I felt a very strong tug to go back to chapter 6. Now, when that happens, and there's times when God really, I feel strongly tugs me in a direction I wasn't expecting. When that happens, it tells me that God has something for us. Something specifically for you and me this morning. He knew who'd be here, and he wants to speak to each one of us from our text this morning. So go to Numbers chapter 6. Let's go to verse 22. Numbers 6, 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. This morning, it's our privilege and our call to consider this blessing, this declaration from God to us. What do we learn about God from this? As we hear God from his heart expressing a blessing, I want you to tell my people something. I want you to pronounce something upon them and for them. Let's consider this morning what we learn about him. I've called our time together this morning. The Lord bless you. Let's pray. How we thank you, Father, as we consider, and I pray it be heart consider, as we consider your heart, as we see your love, this blessing that you declared that you wanted pronounced upon all your people, thank you. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to not be caught up in it being too familiar to us. But let us once again soak in the beauty of this, the joy of it, the blessing of it. Father, you know who we are. You know who'd be here this morning. You know what we come in with, the grief, the struggles, the trials, our circumstances. You know that. And you want this to be spoken right into our hearts, into our lives, into our circumstances. So help us to hear it, Lord. Hear it as such. And to go here and rest in it. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a beautiful, awesome portion of Scripture this is. Now, this portion of Scripture is known as the priestly or the Aaronic, not ironic, but Aaron, Aaronic blessing. God declares here that he wants a blessing pronounced upon his people. Now, upon the Israelites? Yes. But not just them. But this is for all who are his. Just as Paul teaches us over in Romans chapter 4, especially in verses 13 through 16, Paul teaches us that all believers, all who receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we are all the true children of Abraham. So we all qualify for this blessing. But even more than that, we who have received Christ as Savior, those of us on this side of the cross, we now have the very expression of and the experience of these declarations through Jesus. And so please know, it is intended for all of us. And what's the focus? It is clearly God's desire here to bless his people. When we think of what God could have said here, how much different it is. God doesn't come out and say, go tell them how angry I am at them. Tell them, get out of my sight. But on the contrary, he says, I want you to do this. I want you to declare my blessing upon them. There is no doubt that he wants this declared. And I hope we're going to hear it just that way. It's God saying, I want you to know something. And he declares these things to us. Let's look at them. Verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them. Let's pause right there. Aaron is the high priest, and his sons are the priest. And the Lord here declares that they're to pronounce this blessing upon his people. This blessing was to be a distinct part of their worship experience. You see, over in Leviticus 9:22, it shows us there that this blessing followed upon the completion of the offerings to God from the people. It was the priest calling to be the people's representative and go before God with their offerings. And so the priest would go in to the tabernacle and they would offer those various offerings, the offerings of the sacrifices for sin and the burnt offerings for consecration and all, and the meal offerings for fellowship. They would represent the people and go before God. People just couldn't walk right in. But instead, they'd bring their offerings and all, and the priest would take them in before God and present their offerings. But it wasn't to stop there. Because once that was done, the people were to go back out and declare God's blessing upon them. And what is the form of that blessing? It's to declare his relationship to us. And how awesome it is. He doesn't come out and say, now tell them, I don't accept it. I don't want anything to do with you. Get out of here. No. He says, I want you to go out now and represent me to them, and I want you to do it this specific way. I want to make sure they know some things about my love for them, my relationship with them. True for them, true for us. Hear it this morning as such. Oh, how feeble I feel in my attempts here to convey how God would have this conveyed. But I pray that his heart will speak to your heart about this. He wants us to be heard as a blessing because that's exactly what it is. Not angry at us, but greatly loving us. So they're to go out and express this. And you'll notice that there's no ad-libbing allowed in this. That's why it says, look in verse 23, this is the way you shall bless. Verse 27, so they shall. This is how I want you to, it's God saying, I want you to declare to the people exactly this. He wants you to know this. Now, since this was a part of their worship experience, it means it's something that the people would have heard all the time. We hear it often. It's familiar for many of us, but don't let familiarity rip you off. But hear it afresh and anew. See, it's something they would have heard all the time because at least once a day, they would go in. There was the morning and evening sacrifices, but at least once a day, the people would bring their offerings and all, and then this blessing would be declared to the people. And so they would hear this often, frequently, daily. He wanted them to know it and have it be their experience and go home and rest in it and all. You go out and you tell them this, that this is my relationship to them. And what does he want to make sure we know? What do we learn about the heart of God in this? This morning is my privilege to set before us, to help us consider now what each of these things tell us about God and us. Would you make sure and hear it as that? Him speaking to you, his heart to your heart. Well, you'll notice now we have the three verses, 24, 25, and 26, that contain this blessing. Each verse begins with the Lord. You notice Lord is in caps, capitals. That's because it's translation of the Hebrew Yahweh or Jehovah. There's some discussion about what God's name is exactly because in the Hebrew, all we were given are the vowels YHWH. Excuse me, the consonants. The vowels aren't in there. We put those in there later and we come up with probably it's pronounced Yahweh or Jehovah. But it's just what's called the tetragrammation of YHWH. But what's important to remember is this is how God said he wanted to be called. Remember Moses says, well, I'm going to go to the people. Who shall I say sent me? And God said, you tell them that I am that I am. You tell them that the I am sent you. And that's where we get that I am is where we get that YHWH or Jehovah. It's the I am that he wants to be known by. And so that's how this begins. Each one of the blessings begins with I am. And so we're going to have a little overhead here. There it is. In which we're going to look at what God says about himself that he wants declared to his people. And each one begins with I am. So what do we learn about his heart? What do we learn about him here? Verse 24. First of all, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. So the first thing we learn about God is he would want us to know, he would say that I am a blessing God. God loves to bless his people. Now this doesn't mean he's looking to give you a BMW and a house on the hill. If he does give you that, great, don't set your heart upon it. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the true blessings, things we really need, the spiritual blessings, all those things that he would have for us, all the things we find in him. He's not making light of what we go through, and we go through much. But still, if we really stop to think about it, we are a blessed people. His love, the forgiveness he offers through Jesus Christ, his continued faithfulness to us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. We have a God who loves to bless. He wants us to know that. He says, I am a blessing God. He is the source of blessings. All good gifts come from him. He is a blessing God. Now, it's pointed out that the word bless in Hebrew, it literally means to kneel. Interesting. Pastor Chuck Smith points out that he likes to put the spin on it or the declaration that it means to kneel to serve. That's the idea, to kneel to serve God. Kneeling to serve us. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, Jesus, who did always the will of the Father, is a perfect representation of the Father. And what do we find Jesus doing on that night of the Last Supper there in the upper room? Kneeling and washing the feet of the disciples and all. He blessed them, humbled himself and did that. So we have a God who wants to serve. He wants to bless us. He says, I am a blessing God. And what else? And he says, and keep you. God would have us to know that he says, I am a keeping God. The idea there is that God watches over us. Again, sometimes delivering us from the storm, sometimes just being with us through it, strengthening us, keeping us together when everything else would pull us apart. Anybody ever had that? He is the glue. Many times things would have pulled me apart if he hadn't been the glue. He keeps us, never leaving or forsaking us is the idea. You know, it reminds us over in Jude, let me just read this real quick, Jude 24 and 25, when you hear about the Lord keeping us, there's this awesome pronouncement right before the book of the Revelation, the last part of Jude, it says, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. But that declaration, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. Now I look in the mirror and I go, whoa, and he does, he keeps us from stumbling. And Lord, you're going to present me faultless? That's awesome. But he is a keeping God. It reminds us, Peter in 1 Peter 1:5, speaking about the believer, says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So it is God who keeps me from stumbling, keeps me close to him, keeps me in this life's journey, and is able to eventually present me before his throne faultless. Keeps us. What can we say about God's keeping power? I suspect we could go around the room right now and give many a testimony of how God kept you in the midst of something. How God was so very faithful. He kept you right there and nothing and nobody plucked you out. And how he's seen you through so many trials, so many circumstances. Oh, the keeping power of God. Oh, how we depend upon it. Without it, we would surely stumble and fall. But God says, I'll keep you and I'm going to present you before him. What else do we learn about God here? Verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. So, God would want you to know that he says, I am a blessing God. I am a keeping God. And the next thing here is he says, I am a smiling God. Now, hopefully that gets your attention. You go, whoa. It says here, make his face shine upon you. In my studies, as I was able to look at this, it turns out the Hebrew literally means, when he says he makes his face shine upon us, the Hebrew literally means that God smiles upon his people. Now, how different that is from what a lot of us think about God. A lot of us think God is just, oh, I'm just waiting for you to mess up. And we picture the scowl, and he's down on, oh, look at you now. Oh, you're so disappointing. I can't believe it. No. He says, I want you to declare this. My face shines upon them. I, when he looks at you and me, he smiles. Oh, man. God is a smiling God when he looks at us. If anybody ever asks you about that one, you point that verse out to him. That's an awesome one. But not only does he say, I am a smiling God in this verse, but he says also what? I am a gracious God. Now, of course, it is the person of Jesus Christ in which God has manifested his graciousness unto us. Through him, of course, we have that grace. Grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. But he wants us to know that. He declared that I am a gracious God. Anybody here need grace? About half of you. Would the other half stay after? I want to meet you. I caught you off guard, I hope. Hopefully if I did this again, you'd all raise your hand. Because hopefully all recognize we need grace. He says, you make sure and tell them, I am a gracious God. Thank God it's not about us earning it or it's his unmerited favor towards us is what grace points to. Just because he loves you. He says, make sure you tell him, I am a gracious God. What do we learn about the Lord in verse 26? The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So the next thing we learn here, he says, tell them that I am an attentive God. So that's wrapped up in this idea where he says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. That means to give somebody their attention. To get somebody's full attention. They look up they put their countenance, their face, their eyes upon you. May he direct his countenance towards you. So that's the idea there. He is an attentive God. There we go. He is an attentive God. Now, how does it make you feel when someone gives you their full attention? Pretty good, huh? How does it make you feel when you go to speak to your mate and they actually direct their attention towards you? Now think about that. You know what, ladies, how does it feel when he actually puts the paper down and pays attention? Turns off the TV. Turns off the TV and says, now tell me some more. How do we all feel when someone gives their full attention? Man, we feel so blessed. And it just gives a sense of, you know, this is good stuff. This is a relationship. God says, you tell them that's the case. That they get my full attention. Think about it. You walk into the room and somebody sees you and they make a beeline over to you. And they give you full attention to you. How you doing? Good to see you here. It's like, whoa, this is good stuff. That's what he wants us to recognize. That God gives us his full attention. Now, today you may say, wait a minute, Pastor. I mean, how is he going to give all of us his full attention? He's that big. See, we're limited. We are so finite, and we think from our viewpoint. And we recognize, I can't give two people my full attention. Your kids come up to you and they start talking at the same time. What do you do? Quiet! One at a time! Now, what's your problem? What's your problem? But God's not like that. God doesn't say, look, don't everybody pray at once, just one at a time, please. See, you don't have to worry about getting a busy signal with God. Like the voicemail, please leave a message, I'll get back to you. No. God is big enough to give you full attention and you full attention and you full attention. We almost can't take that in. But he's omnipotent and omnipresent and able to do all that. He's that big. And he says, tell them that I'm an attention-giving God. And he gives us his full attention. And the last thing he says, and what? And give you peace. He said, let them know that I am a peace-giving God. Peace is what so many people long for but can't seem to find. This world longs for peace. They don't even identify sometimes as such, but yet they long for it. And if something should promise some peace to them, they're quick to go after it because we are in such turmoil. But unfortunately, of course, this world can never meet that need. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you. And so he is a peace-giving God because we need that peace, but it's only found in him. But how awesome it is that he gives peace. And you notice there's a couple different kinds of peace God gives. First of all, God offers peace with him. That we can quit being at war with God. That through receiving Christ as Savior, just admitting our sin, admitting our need, receiving what he did on the cross, we now have peace with God. We were at enmity, at war with God at one point. But now we have peace with God. How good it is to be on that side of the equation, isn't it? To be at peace with God. But then with that comes what? The peace of God. He gives that peace that passes understanding. He gives the peace in the midst of our trials and all. So we have the peace with God and peace of God. He wants us to know that he's these. Now this, he is so much, there's so much in God. But he kind of encapsulates it all here and says, make sure they know this. You bless them with this. You pronounce this on my people. Now, it has been pointed out by many a commentator that in this blessing, it's not hard to see the Trinity on display. See, it turns out, as you see, you notice that each sentence begins with the word Lord or Jehovah. It's done three times here. And those who study the Hebrew say that there's actually some differences in the clauses and the wording there in the Hebrew that really point to what we know as the mystery of the Godhead, three persons and yet one God. It's like this. A good Bible teacher named David Gusick says it this way. The threefold repetition of Lord does not prove the Trinity, but it certainly illustrates it. God the Father blesses and keeps his children, verse 24. God the Son, he says, makes God's face to shine on us and brings us grace, verse 25. And in verse 26, God the Holy Spirit communicates God's attention to us and gives us peace. The Godhead right there in this blessing, and God says, you make sure and pronounce it and do it this way. And so there we have it. Now consider that God says he wants them to go away from their time at the tabernacle with them having heard this, with them having known this. Same for us. God would have us go away from our times together here, and from your times together in the Word, your times together with him in prayer. He'd have you go away knowing these things of how he loves you, wants to bless you, and is for you, not against you. He wants us to have these things that we could rest in them. True for them, true for us. May we leave our times together knowing these things. And then look at verse 27. After pronouncing the blessings here, the Lord declares, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. He says, look, you speak this over them. You declare this to them. And in doing so, you are what? Putting my name upon my people. Children of Israel and us also, we're all his. And you have his name upon you if you receive Christ as Savior. You're his son, his daughter now. And so he says, when you do this, you're putting my name upon them. And notice that, as we said, he says, Jehovah here, the Lord, three times in this. We have studied before, but it's so important to remember. When it comes to God declaring his name, in God's name, what he's doing is he's revealing who he is and what he is. You see, he says, you tell them that I'm the I am. And then he goes on throughout Scripture. This is so awesome. He goes throughout Scripture putting his name in conjunction with different attributes, different parts of his nature. For example, he says to them things like, okay, I am Jehovah Shalom. I am becoming your peace. And so he goes through that and he starts making sure we understand. He doesn't give us his name just like brag or something. He's letting us know who he is to us, what we have in him. And so he says, in my name. And he'll say, and he declares, he is our healer. He is our provider. He is our righteousness. He goes through and he puts his name in with different attributes of his character and says, declare it to my people. Put my name upon them. Put them in remembrance of who I am and what I am for them. He wants that blessing declared to each one of us so we would know that and receive of it and rest in it. Notice the personal nature of this blessing. Not just the references to the Lord. He says, I am this. I want you to know this. But also, who does he direct it towards? Six times we read, who? Who? You. Put your name in there, believer. Six times he says, you make sure you tell them this. I want to bless you. I'm going to keep you. And six times, it's personal. Him to you. Hear it as such. Oh, what a privilege it is to declare this. You know, think of how people so often misrepresent God. People, if you watch sometimes on TV or different sources, they talk about God, and they'll present God like that he's going broke. You better send this ministry money or God's going out of business. You better give some money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he's not going broke. You won't find God in the bankruptcy court. But sometimes it's conveyed that way. Sometimes God is conveyed as anger out to get us. Oh, scowl on his face. But God does not take lightly those who might misrepresent him. And he says, no, you make sure you tell them this and do it exactly like this. Here is how he wants to be represented. And what do we conclude? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves us. Consider the awesome blessing he has here. God wants his name associated with blessing. Notice in all these things, all these attributes, they go from him to us. There's no part of this saying, and tell them, by the way, they better be good or they're fried or something. It's not like that. The whole thing is what he is for us. What he is for us. God is a blessing God. He wants to pronounce blessings. You know, you probably remember, what's the last act, if you will, that Jesus did before he went home to the Father? Before he ascended to the Father, let me just read it. It's over in Luke 24, starting verse 50. Jesus has gathered the disciples there around him, and he's getting ready to ascend to the Father. And we read this, and he, that's Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and said, man, am I glad I'm through with you guys. I love it when you guys, you see it. You don't let me get away with it. That's important. No, he says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So what did he do? Going home. Now he declares, he raises his hand, declares a blessing on his people. Old Testament, New Testament, God wants his people blessed. He's a blessing God. And so we're reminded of it there. And then the last part of our last part of the verse there, last part of our text this morning. Wonder of wonders, man. And what's the last part say? And I will bless them. Not, well, I might, or I hope to get around to it. So they shall put my name on them, my character, my nature, who I am, what I want to be to you. So they shall do that, and I will bless them. If God says he will do something, what are the odds that it's going to happen? Not just pretty good, it's a sure thing. Oh, the sure promises of God. Amen. Now again, not a promise of a rose garden. Not a promise of no trials in life. But a promise to be all of this in all we go through. I'm going to invite Tim and Casey up right now. As they come up front, let me explain what we're about to do. They're going to teach us a song. Some of you know it, but in a moment, hope we're all going to learn it or relearn it or just celebrate it. But this blessing, of course, has been put to in the form of a song. And they're going to teach it to us that we might indeed know it and declare it and go out of here with it on our hearts and minds and all. And I encourage you, let that be the case. Let that be the case. Well, allow me to lead us in a word of prayer. Father, how I pray that you now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would take this which we've considered and, Lord, sink it down into our hearts. Help us to really soak in this blessing that you declare that you want it pronounced. Lord, help us to hear it from you to everyone, to all who belong to you. And how we thank you for the truth of it all, that you do indeed bless us, that you keep us. Truly you smile upon us. You're gracious towards us. You give us your attention. Never a busy signal with you. You lift up your countenance upon us, and you've given us that peace. Peace with you and peace of you. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we just want to wrap up this time giving you praise. And then help us, Lord, to go out of here and truly rest in and thank you for all this, because truly you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.